Fred Rogan and Rob Parker, AM 570 LA Sports. A lot to get to today. A special appearance by the man who will fix anything in your life, Joseph S. Normand. He will be here today to play real or fake.
Is that right?
He'll be here.
I better get his card in case, you know, I have any issues here. You know, I already went through the Burbank court system, and it wasn't a good thing.
There's one man you need to call.
I'm telling you, I should have called him.
Joseph S. Normand. He'll be here today. Also, later in the show, LeBron James made a very generous donation to build a school in Akron, Ohio. You remember the news conference. And actually, that was his first public statement since signing
with
the Lakers.
No doubt. It was big, and he had his school in Akron, his hometown, Akron, Ohio.
And you were of the belief, as was I at that time, that he built the school. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I had no... It said it was LeBron's school. What does that mean?
Well, it was part of LeBron's school. And we will talk about that as well. Now, this is a huge day in Los Angeles sports. If you've lived here for any period of time, you may remember this date. It was the day that the Kings traded for Wayne Gretzky.
That was a big day.
Oh, it was huge. It changed the perception of hockey in this market.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Even though they never won, it did change things.
Oh, my God. Bruce McNall was the owner of the team at that time. Marty McSorley also came over in that deal from Edmonton. And then you'll remember that Bruce McNall lost the team in shame as he was convicted of embezzling. And there's a great Bruce McNall story. So the reports came out that he was going to be charged with embezzlement. And I had him live on Channel 4. I know Bruce. I knew him then. I liked him. He was a wonderful guy. So I had him live on Channel 4, and I'm doing a talk back. So he's in one location, and I'm in the studio. And he's sitting there, and he's going to address these charges. And I said, are you an embezzler?
Hey, there's no, you can't wiggle out of that, right? I mean, that's the right question.
Are you an embezzler? And his answer was, no, I am not. This was on live TV.
Wow.
So we finished, and I said, well, apparently he's not. He just said he wasn't. He was.
He was. They found out he was.
Yeah, he went to jail for a while.
That's like when they asked Tom Brady if Tom Brady was with the Deflategate. They said, is Tom Brady a cheater? And you know what his answer was? I don't think so. That's what he said. Go look at the tape. I, to this day, who answers a question like that? Is Tom Brady a cheater? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Not sure.
You gotta say yes or no. No, I'm not a cheater.
Well, he kind of did say that.
Right?
I don't think I am. I don't think I'm saying I am. Anyway, so the Kings get Gretzky in 88, 30 years ago. What else happened in 1988? The Lakers won the NBA title. Magic Johnson starred. USC and UCLA both nationally ranked. Rodney Peete went up against Troy Aikman in the USC-UCLA game for entry into the Rose Bowl. USC won. Back in 88, the Rams were a playoff team. Florence Griffith Joyner, Southern California.
Yep.
The sprinter was the darling of the Seoul Olympics. Janet Evans from Southern California, from Orange County, won 3 Olympic gold medals. The Dodgers won the World Series. Oral Hershiser and Kirk Gibson starred. All of that in 1988. And on that Dodger team, really the story was Oral Hershiser was the man.
He was unbelievable.
He was the stopper. He was the guy that you gave the ball to, and he won every time he needed to.
Gibby didn't deserve the MVP that year. That's the one thing.
Why?
Jason, can you pull up his stats from 1988?
I will.
How many home runs did Gibby hit?
He hit the biggest one of the year.
How many home runs did he hit that year?
74.
Take a guess.
I don't know how many he hit.
How many RBIs did he have? Try that number again. What did you say?
74.
Okay. I think he had 75.
Okay, so
what MVP wins with 75 RBIs?
25 home runs, 76 RBIs. He batted .290.
There you go. That's an MVP.
And how many errors? How many did he have? 9 errors that year, playing left field.
Who counts that?
I think because 9 errors is a lot of errors for an outfielder.
That, you know something, you don't even factor that in the
Why
MVP
not?
Vote because he was Kirk Gibson.
He was a hack out there.
He provided the number one sports moment in Los Angeles history.
I got
history.
You. I understand. I told you in Detroit when he was coaching, the Hispanic players had a nickname for Gibby.
What?
Two hit. That's what they called him.
Why?
Because of the hit that he had in 88 against Eckersley and the one he had off of Rich Gossage when the Tigers beat the Padres in the World Series in 84. So they say that he only had two hits in his career. That's his nickname, Two Hit.
Listen, because you had a fight with him on the radio, you don't need to start because you fought with him in Detroit on the radio.
Who else did I fought with everybody on the radio. You're right.
Right. So we understand where you come from now.
But 1988, the Dodgers.
All right, but Hershiser was the guy you gave the ball to. Now look at this Dodger team today as they try once again to get back to the World Series and win. You have a guy in Clayton Kershaw. But last night, one strikeout. He's made it through the seventh inning just once since April 20th. His ERA is 3.57.
It's a chubby 3.57.
Fair. Yeah, not a crisp 3.57. Right. So a couple of weeks ago, I said, if the Dodgers, and it did not happen and probably wasn't going to happen, if they were to acquire Jacob DeGrom, they have a new ace. It's Jacob DeGrom.
No. No.
Yes. Absolutely yes. If they were, it would have acquired Jacob DeGrom.
You would have pitched Jacob DeGrom over Kershaw?
Yes. Like,
Fred dropping a F-bomb.
Of course I would.
Is that a hot take? What is that,
That's
Fred?
That's not a hot take. That's just an intelligent take. You wouldn't pitch what you're saying. Clayton Kershaw was one of the best pitchers in baseball. He has been injured. He has struggled at times. I'm not saying any of it is his own fault.
If he's
but Jacob DeGrom is not a better pitcher right now than Clayton Kershaw.
But if he's on your roster, I'm just telling you, I couldn't see that happening. I just couldn't. You really believe that the Dodgers, who are trying to retain or hope to retain Clayton Kershaw. Now, here's I'm going to give you the side story.
Hope to retain him. They're going to retain him. Okay. Where's he going to go?
But here's the side story. I saw this all play out in Detroit with Justin Verlander. I saw it. He wasn't his self. He struggled, you know, and people were like, oh, he's done. Get him out of here. He's not the same guy.
How injured was he then?
Well, he also had some issues and a core issue that took time to really heal. And there's obviously something wrong with Clayton Kershaw.
Right.
Okay, there's no doubt. But it doesn't mean you discard him and think that he can't get back there because Justin Verlander got back there. He's the reason the Astros won their first World Series, and he's the reason that they're going to be in the mix again this year. And I'm just saying, be careful about discarding pitchers of that caliber, Fred, even though they're struggling and they're having a rough patch in their career. That's what Clayton Kershaw's having, a rough patch. He's not done. He's not.
Well, who said he's done?
He's not.
Said he's done? But I'm saying this. He's not your ace.
He is the ace. Who's the ace right now?
Stripling's 8-3. Granted, Stripling has been...
Would you stop?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stripling's been hit hard recently. He'll start tonight after a little DL stint. Rich Hill's 5-4. Maeda's 7-7. Wood is 7-6. Bueller is 5-4. If you just break it down, there's no real differentiation between any of them. Right now, Rob, I'm not talking about...
I get that. I understand what you're saying.
So would you give the ball right now to Clayton Kershaw?
Absolutely.
Or Walker Bueller, if you could.
Oh, please. No, Fred, no. Clayton Kershaw has to start. If you have any chance of trying to win a World Series or advance, if you don't get anything from Clayton Kershaw, you're not going to win anyway, Fred. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's going to have to pitch, and he's going to have to come through. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. You're not going to win. So if you're telling me you're going to push him and start him third in the rotation, you're telling yourself you're not going to win anything.
Right now, Rich Hill has 86 strikeouts and 79 innings pitched. He has more strikeouts than innings pitched. Kershaw's 99 and 101. Stripling's 119 and 104. Maeda's 123 and 103. Just look at the numbers. Bueller's 79 and 74. All I'm saying is he's not the guy he was. I'm not saying he's finished. I'm not saying you should walk away. I'm not saying you should banish him to an island. But what I am saying...
What, do you want to put him in the bullpen? Is that where he should go?
I don't think... I'm not sure, Rob.
You're not sure?
No, I'm not sure that that's who you give the ball to in a one-game playoff.
Fred dropping a F-bomb.
I am not dropping an F-bomb. I'm not. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, does it seem that insane to you?
It is a hot take.
Why is that a hot take?
Reeks of a hot take.
That is a hot take, Fred.
No, it's not. I'm just breaking it down by the numbers.
But if you were to give me somebody who was really like another, if you told me, here was the problem they had in Detroit, okay? You had Scherzer,
all right,
Verlander, and Price. That's a dilemma on who you give the ball to pitch game one. You got three Cy Young Award winners. You're telling me Clayton Kershaw and the Cosby kids. None of those guys. Are you kidding me? None of those guys are on that caliber of Clayton Kershaw. I'm sorry.
I'm talking about this.
I just said great call on the Cosby kids.
Right? They're the Cosby kids.
I don't need that, Kevin.
Sorry, it was good.
All right. What I'm saying is I'm worrying about right now.
And my aide is the one with the hat pulled
over
his face.
Eyes.
All right. 866-987-2570. I believe, quite frankly, what I said makes sense. I don't think it's an F-bomb. I don't think it's a hot take. I think if you look at the numbers, maybe you would give the ball to somebody else, given the way things are right now. For BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse at 866-987-2570, that's the take. Rob thinks I'm nuts. I think it makes sense. You tell us what you think. You'll have 30 seconds to do it, and your best take will win a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. When we come back, we'll start sneaking your calls in, so get online, because I know a lot of people will weigh in on this today, and people that jump in late don't have an opportunity, then they get mad at us. We don't want you mad. We want you to be a part of the show. You can tweet at FredNBCLA as well. We'll continue with that later in the program today. LeBron James paid for his school. Didn't pay for all the school. Is that any big deal? It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports. That's right. Apparently dropping the bombs today for no apparent reason. So the question for BJ's today, look, Clayton Kershaw. As a matter of fact, before we get to the calls, let's let you hear a little sound from Clayton Kershaw talking about his performance last night. And again, to be fair, he didn't get a lot of run support. We know that. But moreover, he's not the guy he was. And that's all I'm saying.
I didn't have much of anything tonight. It was a little bit of smoke and mirrors. You know, it's a good team over there. And, you know, I was getting ahead of a few guys, but especially that fourth inning when they scored the runs, you know, a lot of hits with two strikes right there. And didn't really have those put away pitches when I needed to tonight. You know, I felt fortunate to grind through six right there. And, you know, our team did a good job of battling back, and we had a chance to win at least. So, you know, there's a few positives to take from it, but, you know, this was definitely not one of my most memorable performances for sure.
All right, respect to Clayton. He's certainly honest and always is.
100% honest. He didn't try to sugarcoat it or tell you that you saw something different.
All right, but by his own admission, he's not the guy he was. And to be fair, we're hearing more of this now. You know, after a game, you're hearing more of this type of thing.
He says last night was smoke and mirrors, but it seems like this season has been smoke and mirrors, right? He's gotten himself into a lot more dangerous situations than we've seen him over the years.
There's no doubt he's not the same guy he was a year ago. I give you that, Fred.
All right, that's all I said.
But all of it, but the alternatives, I'm not good with the alternative list you gave me. That's the problem I have.
You know,
if I'm going in for, you're talking about a big game, I'm still rather pitch a guy who has had and has pitched in those big games rather than rolling the dice with people we don't know.
John in Beverly Hills, you're on AM570 LA Sports. You have 30 seconds. What do you think?
What's Rob Parker smoking on, okay? Clayton Kershaw is falling off a cliff. Okay, this guy is nowhere near the same pitcher he's been. Ross Stripling is better than Clayton Kershaw right now. But if I'm going to give the ball to a pitcher in a big game, I'm looking at Walker Buehler. Have you seen this guy pitch? He's got incredible stuff. Go with the young stud. He's the one that will get us the win.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. I don't think that Clayton Kershaw is falling off a cliff. That might have been a bit drastic.
I got what he's saying, but I agree with you. That's over the top. But then if you put the kid out there and the kid loses, then you'll be saying, why would you put a kid in a big spot like that?
Because that's what you have. How about pitching the bishop? Let's throw the bishop out there. Let him wield that curveball. He doesn't have any blisters. He's ready to go. Alex in San Dimas, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Fred, you're out your mind, man. What's next? LeVar starting for the Lakers? Come on. You put Kershaw out there because every time, you don't know, playoff, regular season, the guy could pitch a no-hitter. He's on. The series is over. Have a good one, fellas.
If ifs and buts were beer and nuts, we'd have a hell of a party. If, but, why, maybe, possibly. All I'm doing is going by the results right now. I'm not saying what might happen. You know what might happen? I might walk out of here and a giant rock will fall from the sky and hit me in the head.
Don't say that, Fred. Don't put it in the universe.
You know what else might happen? I might walk out of here and all of a sudden somebody will touch me. I'll grow to 9 feet tall, reverse 40 years, and play in the NBA. That might happen, too.
You'd have to dye your hair, though.
No, I don't dye my hair anymore.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Jose in L.A., you're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. Go ahead.
Kershaw is on the level of Kobe at his time after so many years in the league. Great mind, great awareness. If he can do it, if he says he can do it, I'll go with him. I'll live and die with him. If he says he can't do it, then he can't do it.
Thanks, Jose. I think Jose is using one of those voice-altering devices.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, he's going to make a ransom call next.
Is that right?
As soon as he hung up here. He's going to make the ransom call.
We have your wife. Can you meet us in the phone booth?
I need you to pass up the murder.
All right, let's go. Ken in Riverside. Go ahead, Ken.
You know what? I'm handing someone else a ball, and I'm not just looking at this or that. I'm looking at all the previous playoff appearances. He's only had one memorable one, and that was when he had to come in and save the game for Kenley. Everyone was saying that Kershaw's legacy game was game one of last year's World Series. No. It was game four or game five. Everyone's saying the narrative. You get him a couple runs, he's winning. He blew two leads. His legacy is choking games in the playoffs.
Ken, thanks for the call. I don't know if that's the legacy of Clayton Kershaw.
Well, but he's right about that game five cost the Dodgers the World Series. I keep telling you that, Fred.
And we all know who cost the Dodgers the World
Series. No, it was not. It's not.
Yeah, it was.
You had your ace on the mound with a four-run lead. Stop it. He had a four-run lead. Then he gave that up in a series that was tied 2-2 on the road with your ace on the mound. He gives up those four runs, and then they get him three more back, and he gives those up. That was the World Series right there. You know what his record was when he spotted four runs going into that game? 101. So he wound up being 102, if you count that as a loss. But he was 101 with giving four runs.
I'd say that's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, but he choked in the big game.
He did not choke. It was just an unfortunate time
for that
to happen.
I still would pitch him because you have no alternative. But I'm telling you, the reason the Dodgers lost the World Series was because...
Yu Darvish.
It wasn't Yu Darvish.
It was Yu Darvish.
No, it was...
Pitching at home
Clayton
in the
Kershaw.
Seventh game of the World Series.
If Clayton Kershaw wins your game five in Houston, you're up 3-2. You come back to L.A. for game six and seven.
So Yu
you
Darvish
win the World
get
Series
in game seven. And the problem with Yu Darvish, I looked back at the tape just yesterday because I do that kind of thing sometimes. I like to look back and see if I feel the same way. Did you realize he had a sign around his neck and he was tipping his pitches?
Is that what it was?
He was just wearing a sign with a chain.
That said,
curveball
coming.
Curveball. And then when he'd turn and look out the center field, he'd switch the sign, fastball, outside corner. That's what happened. He was tipping his pitches, and it was very apparent. Tim and Menifee, go ahead. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, I take Clayton. He's the one thing they're forgetting about. I think that I'm still laughing after that call the guy's going to make this on his phone. But I'll take Clayton because he's going to get a hit. Bottom of the second inning, bases might be loaded. He might get a home run. He could win the game for you. That's it for you.
Okay,
right,
thanks.
Thank
and thanks for surviving the call.
And for
I think
him,
that was a big part of it.
For him to talk about the...
For him to live through that.
Clayton as a hitter, and that's the reason you want him to pitch, because he can hit. I'm not buying that. I don't care how well he hits as a pitcher.
Why? You need that guy in the ninth slot.
Oh, okay.
He can make a difference.
And he's going to get a hit in the second inning. That's going to win the game for you.
Hey, Fred.
If it's a one-run game.
Okay.
Yes.
So, last segment, we talked about 1988, and this guy had some real unfair things to say about Kirk Gibson. I'm like, where is this vitriol coming from for Kirk Gibson? I mean, local hero.
What?
I just figured it out.
What?
I looked at the MVP votes for 1988. He beat out two Mets, Daryl Strawberry and Kevin McReynolds. That's
what
it, right?
What were Daryl Strawberry's...
You're holding that bitterness right now?
What were Daryl Strawberry's numbers that year?
Oh, no, better numbers. But if you were in this town, you knew what Kirk Gibson meant to this.
No,
that's right.
But I'm not talking about Gibson had the big home run. I get it, in the postseason. The MVP is about the regular season. If you look at his regular season numbers, Daryl Strawberry got robbed of the MVP that year.
It goes way beyond the numbers. If you experience that, I mean, he carried this team with leadership and
you still never gave me how many errors he made that year.
He made 12 errors in left field, which is a lot. I know.
How do you win an MVP with 12 errors, Fred?
A lot is an understatement. 12?
12.
Damn.
Nobody in the history of baseball has ever been MVP with 12 errors.
What are you looking for? Perfection? Well, he plays a lot of games. Everybody makes a mistake. No, that's why pencils have erasers.
Fred, you umpired a lot. 12 errors?
12 errors in the outfield, that's Fred? A lot of errors. Not shortstop or third base. You're talking about the outfield.
Seven of those were because the other outfielder did not call properly what was going on out there.
Gotcha.
In other words, I got it.
Kev,
right,
you can't believe
the error to Kirk Gibson.
Kev, you can't believe an outfielder made 12 errors.
That's
right.
That's unreal. 12 errors in one season.
And he was the MVP.
Over those Mets, who were a great team that year, the Dodgers weren't even expected to beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they did.
They did.
And
for the postseason, that's great.
You know what? That shows you what a player Kirk Gibson was.
No, but you didn't
know
that.
To overcome 12 errors. I knew it. I knew it watching. I voted for him. And I don't even have a vote.
I was going to say, what vote do you have?
I have none. My own. My own in my house. David and Downey, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. How you doing, bud?
Good.
Good. I agree with you. You
Thank
know,
you.
Clayton Kershaw is not the same pitcher as he was a few years ago. But my thing is this. If he's there to support the team, whether he starts or whether he comes out of the bullpen, as long as he's there to support the Dodgers like he should, I'm good with that.
Okay. David, appreciate the call. No, he will support the team. Look, don't misunderstand my point. I'm not saying trade him, cut him, designate him for assignment, pay him off and say goodbye. I'm not saying any of that. But I think the numbers bear out the facts. At this point in time, that he's not the guy he was. I'm not even saying it's his fault. But if we're looking at it realistically, I'm not so sure that's the guy that's your stopper. And Rob makes the point, well, look at the staff. Who's the stopper? I don't know.
But that's the issue. If you gave me a guy, I just told you, if there was a bona fide, a real guy, you could look at and say, you can count on this guy in a big spot. That's totally different. You don't have one of those guys. The records you just gave me are all piss poor.
Really?
Yes.
So you consider a record of 7-7 piss poor?
Yes, I do. I do.
Kenta Maeda will not appreciate that.
Sorry about that.
That's not right. You shouldn't have done that. Tim in Mission Viejo, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Both are right. Clayton Kershaw is not the same as he was last year, but I'll take a 90% Kershaw over 90% of any other pitcher out, the other 90% pitchers out there in the league. Clayton Kershaw is still one of the best pitchers out there, hands down, so you guys are both right.
Okay, thank you. But that's not going to be good enough to win.
No. Both right. We can't do that. You got to pick a winner. I'm talking about it's either he's with me or he's with you, Fred.
You know what? Why do you have to be so divisive?
That's how I am.
Why do you have to do that? You're the one that's causing trouble.
I want to be president one day.
Well, then you'll have... Obviously, we know how that works. Don't forget... Oh, we'll keep getting these in, so stay right there. Don't forget the final stop on the Petros & Money Chevrolet Summer Tour is Friday, August 17th. At Ballast Point Brewery in Long Beach. Stop by and enter for your chance to qualify to win a 2018 Chevrolet Silverado. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Joining us today, a return appearance by our good friend, the man who brings us real or fake, personal injury attorney Joseph S. Norman. Hello, Joseph.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Good. Now, this is a good week for you. Maybe I shouldn't talk shop here. Maybe I shouldn't talk business on the air. But
why
not? I'm going to do it. Did you not just win a $1 million case for one of your clients?
Absolutely did.
Wow.
$1 million.
Yep. On a case that initially only had $100,000 worth of policy coverage, we ended up bringing in the employer's general liability policy and collected $1 million on top of the individual's $100,000 policy.
That's who Joseph S. Normand is.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And you're left holding the bag. I'll fill it with money.
Absolutely will do, Fred.
I needed you when I went to traffic court at Burbank at the courthouse. Wasn't a good thing. I know you're an injury attorney, but
you're
I
injured.
Needed help.
You know what? You were injured.
They injured me when I went in there and sat there for 8 hours.
Is that your fault?
Emotional trauma.
Yes.
You see?
That's exactly
what it was. I was like, what?
If you've got any kind of case, Joseph is the man.
I sat there for 8 hours. Guess how long I talked to the judge?
How long?
A minute.
2 minutes. Exactly. You knew it. I sat there all day. All right, stand up. All right, whatever. Okay. All right, sit down. All right, bye. That was it.
Were you guilty?
They threw one count out, and then the other. I was guilty on the other one.
You had two counts in traffic court?
Yes.
What were they?
I had my cell phone in my hand. I was not texting because I have a new car with the system that reads out your texts to you. I had it. I had sweatpants on. It was sliding out. I grabbed it. We're at a traffic light, and the cop looked directly into my window and looked over at me and saw the phone in my hand. So he said, pull over. Then I have a Michigan driver's license, and he gave me a ticket for that. So they dropped the ticket for the driver's license, and I just had to pay for the cell phone.
They'll find something to ding
right?
you on.
They got money out of me.
Yep.
All right. Well, Joseph won't let that happen.
We need to change the laws in California. This is what I don't understand.
Okay.
How can you register a car in California without a California driver's license, but it's against the law not to have a California driver's license?
Makes no sense at all.
Makes no sense.
And just like that, they'll get money out of us.
Yes.
And Joseph will get money out of them.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right.
Dodgers' Manny Machado admits to watching the movie Scarface once a week. In a piece by the Orange County Register on what baseball players spend time doing on the road, Manny Machado admitted his fondness for one cult movie. He said, my favorite movie is Scarface. I have watched it once a week for a very long time. Scarface Machado. Rob, is that real or fake?
I would say that is real. I could see where guys get caught up. I watch The Wizard of Oz almost every week.
Don't admit that.
I'm sorry.
Don't say that again.
Okay.
Joseph.
Scarface being my favorite movie.
I'll see.
Could you? I cannot disagree with that. Real news, Fred.
Real news. Really fake.
It's all fake news. Oh, it's phony stuff.
Joseph. I love Scarface as well.
I just thought it would be a movie that you could get into.
Yeah. I love Scarface. All right. A petition calls for LeBron James to head the Department of Education. A petition calling for LeBron James to replace current U.S. Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos.
DeVos.
Oh, DeVos.
DeVos. She's the Amway, right? The Amway family.
Yeah,
DeVos.
Yeah. Has 9,000 signatures coming off of the opening of LeBron's Promise School in Akron. The petition states he has shown he cares about America's youth and understands the power of public education in helping children meet their true potential. Joseph, is that real or fake?
That's real, Fred.
Okay, Rob.
I was going to say, you said 9,000, so that's real. If there were any more numbers, then I would say it was fake. I could see after the school people getting all worked up.
22,000, I'm sorry.
22, you said 9,000.
I just changed it.
I think it's real.
It is. I tried to screw with you.
See?
Look at this. It's real, boy. It's real. Joseph, let me ask you a question. Kid walks into a public school.
Never lost.
Sits down at the desk. Desk collapses. Kid breaks his leg. Is that the kid's fault?
Absolutely not.
Whose fault is that?
Desk manufacturer and the school for not inspecting that desk.
They need a personal injury attorney.
That's right.
Would you take that case?
Hands down.
Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677. Banana company in Korea has a solution for consuming bananas. The Korean grocery chain E-Mart has started selling packs of 5 bananas, each at varying stages of ripeness. On the far left of the package, a banana you could eat the day of purchase. At the far right, a banana that will be good in a few days. E-Mart has dubbed its new invention Haru Hana Banana, or the one-day banana. Rob, is that real or fake?
That's fake. What? A banana key right away, and then one. I need all of my bananas to last for a couple of days.
I like green bananas, personally.
Do you?
Yeah.
I say, no, I'm not buying that.
You're not buying it?
Fake.
But you know, they're very innovative in Korea.
Okay.
You're saying fake?
Yes.
Joseph?
It sounds funny, but these days, you never know what they're going to come up with next. Real.
It's real.
That's right.
No!
It was real.
They're gonna. Don't they have to stay on the bunch? The bananas. Every time you peel one off, doesn't that make it?
They're growing them that way.
With different ones?
No, I don't know if they're growing them that way. No, but what I'm saying
the
is,
thing. They put it in the package.
They're bundling them that
different
way.
Different stages.
Unbelievable.
Of ripeness.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're down one. Joseph may not have to sue us today.
That's right.
Nick Young sends warning message to DeAndre Hopkins about former Laker D'Angelo Russell. after rapper Iggy Azalea confirmed on her Instagram that she is dating Pro Bowl NFL receiver DeAndre Aikens. Hopkins? Why did I say Aikens? Oh, that's the kid from Arizona.
DeAndre Ayton, yes.
Oh, close enough. DeAndre Hopkins, former fiance of Azalea, Nick Young, sent the following message on his Instagram. DeAndre, make sure you stay away from D'Angelo Russell. Crying, smiley face, emoji. Joseph, is that real or fake?
That Laker team was pretty dysfunctional at that time.
Yeah, a lot of it because of D'Angelo Russell.
Right. So that's real.
You're saying that's real. Rob, what do you think?
It's too elaborate, and it's got to be fake. It's just too elaborate for me.
Is it? What would make it less elaborate?
I don't know. I'm just the smiley face and the emoji and all. It's just too elaborate.
That's so Nick Young, though.
I told you it's fake.
It's all fake news.
Yes!
It's phony stuff.
Come on.
Never lost. All right, you're tied. Toluca Lake man successfully sues food truck for Korean barbecue burning his mouth. According to the LA Times, Rich Taylor of Toluca Lake sued a Korean barbecue food truck owner after he suffered burns in his mouth. A small claims judge ruled in Taylor's favor. The food truck owner will now cover the cost of Taylor's medical expenses and the food. Rob, is that real or fake?
I mean, that sounds like so obvious. He burnt my mouth. I should sue him. I'm going to say it's fake.
Same fake. Joseph?
It's a very viable case. It just shouldn't have gone to small claims. You could get more money outside of small claims. But, real.
You're saying real?
Yeah.
It's all fake news.
Yeah!
It's phony stuff.
Yeah!
Joseph?
You see, Fred, the thing is that a lot of people don't know their rights.
Yes.
And they think small claims is the only way they could go.
Right.
You're limited to 10,000 in small claims.
You got to go bigger.
Exactly. You go to superior court through an attorney, you're entitled to the sky's the limit depending on your injuries.
The bottom line is if you really want to make something happen, you just got to cut the attorney into the deal. If you don't cut the attorney in, you don't get any money. If you do, you get money. It's that simple. That's what life is all about.
Nice and straightforward.
Am I right? I'm telling you.
And if you cut Joseph in.
Right. Cut Joseph in and he'll get you some loot. It's simple.
He'll answer the phone. 866-987-2570. Final question.
866-777-0677.
I just gave the number to call for BJ's.
Correct. Fred, you were testing me there.
No, that's Fred's home number. I think he just gave out.
No, Petros does that. All right, this is it. PGA corporate computers were hacked, and a Bitcoin ransom note was included. The PGA of America has been locked out of important computer files this week after an attack by unidentified hackers. According to a report from Golf Week, the hackers reportedly sent an email offering to decrypt the files as proof of their powers, and also sent along a Bitcoin wallet number. No ransom amount was specified. Joseph, I actually read that one correctly. Is it real or fake?
Fake.
Saying it's fake.
Saying it's fake.
All I got to do, I got a one question lead, so I just agree with Joseph, and I win.
Correct.
All right? I'm not going to go out on a limb. I mean, I'm a smart man. I understand how this game is
played. But it could be real. It could
be
real.
It's fake.
You're saying it's fake? It's real, boy. It's real. But with that,
we're both wrong, and I win.
You beat me, but Rodney still hasn't beat me.
Is that right?
No, Rodney has not defeated Joseph.
Joseph, you were impressed by the way I played, though. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? I'm here to win.
Never lost.
No, absolutely.
It's very unusual for you to win.
I know. I've won twice, right?
I know.
The last couple days.
You know, you're visiting. I wanted you to feel good about it.
Oh, make me feel good about it?
There we go.
Okay. So, Joseph, thank you for coming in, as always. And by the way.
Did he bring food?
He always brings gifts.
Oh.
He always bears gifts.
Starving.
And I'll say this, in all seriousness. People are calling. They're bringing their cases to you. Some people are leaving other attorneys.
That's right.
Because they're not getting any response. When they call you, you handle the case.
Absolutely.
You're on it. And you do it for as long as it takes. If it takes 6 months, you'll be there 6 months. If it takes 3 weeks, you'll be there 3 weeks. A year, you'll be there a year.
100%, Fred. That's what we're here for.
866-777-0677. Joseph S. Norman. Joseph, thank you for coming in. And by the way, you have been awarded the man with the best smells in this studio. Every time you come in, Petros and Money mentioned it last time, you've got the best cologne in the world. I don't know what you wear, but Matt wanted to know.
Thank you.
What do you wear?
It's Bijan.
There you go. When Matt comes in, I'll tell him today.
Thanks, Rhett.
Joseph, thank you for hanging out. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks. Absolutely.
When we come back, we'll try to sneak a few more calls in. And who's ready to grab some wings and place a bet? It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. And Rob Parker in today for Rodney. Next hour, LeBron James made a statement, opened a school. Everybody thought he paid for the entire school. No, he didn't pay for the entire school. I personally don't think it's that big of a deal, but some people do. So we'll talk about that next hour. All right, let's sneak a few more calls in here. Then we got to move on and award BJ's. Manuel and Gardena, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Clayton Kershaw, given where he's at right now, if you have to give the ball to somebody in the big game, would that be the man?
Fred, first, hey, Rob Parker, word on the street is Theo has a mean curveball. But I would go with Alex Wood, man. How come nobody's bringing up the fact that guy was nailed against Houston in the World Series, and he should have been the Game 7 starter last year? That's all I got, baby.
All right, Manuel. Appreciate that. Let's go Miko and Compton. Go ahead, Miko.
Hey, Fred, I agree with Rob Park. You're right, Rob. You have loyalty. You stick with Kershaw. Clay needs to call Joseph Esposito for being the workhorse for the Dodgers for the last 10 years. They give him no run support. Hey, you know what, Fred? I got a good mind to call Colleen and Chris Coleman and those big wigs at NBC and say Mario Solis needs to replace Fred. He got the black hair. He's younger. Speaking of 1988, Mario looks like Fred in 1988. So let's get Mario on there since Fred's not what he used to be.
No, Miko, I still got my fastball. I still got my fastball. I haven't lost any. I haven't lost any speed on the fastball. Now, I can't start as many games as I used to. But when I pitch, I still got the fastball. Ed and Chino Hills, go ahead.
Yeah, if history has taught us anything, you don't hand the ball to Clayton Kershaw in a big game. They don't call him Clayton Chicken Bone Kershaw for nothing. He'll choke. Now you hand the ball to Walker Bulldog Bueller. And the last time we had a Bulldog, we won the series.
All right, Ed. We'll award the winner of BJ's coming up here in a couple of seconds. So now, legalized gambling is around, and everybody wants a piece. You know, the NBA recently struck a deal with the MGM Resorts.
And now what? Now a restaurant, right?
Yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings is now exploring the possibility of adding sports betting.
So they want me to go and pay for overpriced wings, and now I'm going to drop $150 there, too, on a game. Is that what it is?
Okay, I don't think they had you specifically in mind. I don't think they said, how will this affect Rob Parker? But I think they did consider the fact that they're already kind of a game place with lots of TVs. And they're thinking, okay, if we could open a sports book here, along with everything else we do, we get our cut. And on top of that, we've got more people coming into the restaurant just to watch games and eat. And we make money there.
I think that they're wrong, actually. I think that people would come in and not eat. That the degenerate gamblers are coming in to hang out in your establishment. You can't get a seat for people who want to eat. And they're hanging out and sitting around drinking water because they're not going to spend any of their money on your food product. They want to use the money to gamble. I don't think it. I actually think it's a bad idea.
And I think you're going to see more and more of it. Now, the other side of it
is... Have you ever been to Vegas, Fred? You've seen the guys. They're just standing around. They're not buying anything. They don't want your product. They want to use the money to win money.
Yeah, but they're going to buy a drink.
No, water. Or they'll use your... they'll get a cup, bring their own cup in.
No, they
don't.
And
then do all the free pop, you know, when they have the machine.
Nobody brings their own cup in, Rob, to the casino where they can get free drinks. That doesn't happen. And by the way, pop. You know what pop is? What is pop?
Soda, right?
Right.
It's a Midwest thing, right?
Right.
People say pop.
You know, when I grew up in Detroit, that's what we called it, pop. Moving to Arizona, I said I'd like some pop, and people looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. And
slap you in the face? You said you wanted a pop. I'm sorry.
Hey there.
Well, my New York friends, when I came home and started saying pop, they said, pop? Pop sleeps with mom. What are you talking about?
Anyway, I do think you're going to see more of it. I also think what's going to happen is you're going to be able to bet on apps. But the reason I think you'll see more of this happening, Rob, with food chains is because people like to watch games in a communal setting. You know, if you just went in there and they have 100 TVs and you're sitting and watching games, you know, somebody might say to the other guy, you know, let's bet on this, let's bet on that. And since people like that feeling, even degenerate gamblers normally don't sit in a closed, they're not shut-ins, so they want to be in communal settings.
No, but you're just
I
saying.
I think it's going to work.
You're saying now if it's on an app or whatever, I could stay home and eat my own food and not pay for overpriced wings to make a bet. I don't have to go there. Before, you used to have to, you had to go to the casino because that's the only place you could do it, Fred. Once you eliminate and you make it easier where you don't have to go anywhere, why would you go anywhere and spend any more money when I can get, I'm going to buy a $2.99 pop when I could get, I have a 25-cent pop at the house.
Most people are social beings, Rob. They want to get out and be with people. And if you've got action,
you know,
if
degenerate
you've all got
gamblers?
Action on a game, you're specifying one group of our population, but if you just want to get out and have a good time and you all got action on one game and you can go to the gambling window and get cash right there, it's not a credit on a phone app, I think that's cool.
I'm not convinced. I bet you that they'll probably wind up not doing it at, what is it, Buffalo Wild Wings? I think when they really think about it, what are you? Because if you're going to do that, you might as well get rid of the wings and just be a betting place. Seriously.
If you're a gambler,
what are you wasting time selling wings for?
What do you mean? That's how they make their money.
No, they'll make more money if they're taking bets. I'm going to sit around here and sling wings and fries when I can get bets and people are dropping $150 on a game and the place is going to make $150 off of you when if you come in with a coupon and wings and a pop, I'm going to get $24 off of you? Come on, it doesn't make any sense.
Rob, they already have the business model in place. They're not going to shut down the restaurants so they can take bets. It would add to the restaurant. You wouldn't just shut down. Well, we're out of the business. We're done. Now we're just going to take bets. Of course you wouldn't do that. I'm wondering if anybody that gambles, anybody that places an occasional bet, if they think this is a good idea and if they think you're going to see more of this.
Yeah, and would you go in to buy wings or whatever and place a bet, or would you just place a bet?
All right, that's fair. Would you eat?
Would you eat?
Right. Or would you drink? Or would you just stumble in under cloak of night and place bets?
So they're going to sit there for a game. It's 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Sit there waiting for the results, right? And then I'm going to eat $40 worth of food.
Let's say they did that.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm telling you, they'll stand around, drink water, and wait for them to collect their money.
Even the draw, it'll just draw you when you smell the wings or you see the beer. That's what they're hoping for. That's what's going to happen. That's how these businesses, that's clear as day, right?
It's not that clear to me. I'm just not convinced that the real gamblers, you got to remember, most people are casual. Most people aren't gamblers. You know that, Fred. The majority of people aren't gamblers.
And that's why I think this would be appealing to those people. The casual gambler, the casual individual, that's the person that would bet. It would just be kind of value added. All right, Jose just called in before the top of the hour. Let's grab him. Jose, go ahead.
Hey, so they already do this in Arizona. You go in there, you eat. It's a great idea. Last time I went to Arizona, my friend's dad bet on the dog track. They gave us $5,000 right there. He went out and took us off for porterhouse steaks. It's awesome.
See, you didn't eat at the place, did you?
Well, we did eat, and then he took us out for porterhouse steaks after because he just made $5,000, and everybody left it on the table, but we all had dessert. He didn't care. He just made $5,000.
There you go. Thanks, Jose. I appreciate it.
We ate at the spot, and then we went to go have porterhouse.
All right.
I don't blame the porterhouse if you won $5,000. Enjoy yourself.
All right, but he did it because they were just sitting there eating, and they said, yeah, we'll bet.
Okay, I'm not convinced. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I'm going to tell you that Buffalo Wild Wings, they kind of threw it out there to see what kind of pushback they would get. But I think they're in the chicken business, and I think they'll be afraid to ultimately. It's either you want to be in the chicken business or you want to be in a gambling business.
You're clucked up.
They don't matter.
Jason, who won BJ's?
Nice, Fred. You just came up with that?
Yeah, I did.
Now, we asked about Clayton Kershaw, and who would you give the ball to in one game for it all? And here's Alex and San Dimas.
Fred, you're out your mind, man. What's next, LeVar starting for the Lakers? Come on. You put Kershaw out there. you put Kershaw out there, because every time, you don't know, playoff, regular season, the guy could pitch a no-hitter. He's on. The series is over. Have a good one, fellas.
You too, and congratulations. You won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. When we come back, for some reason, the sight of LeBron in a Laker uniform has titillated the audience. And whose school is it? It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker, AM570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports. Rodney has the week off. Kevin, what's coming up at 1:30?
Fred, super nerds are ruining baseball.
Super nerds?
Super nerds. Not regular nerds. Super nerds. Ruining Major League Baseball.
All right. Nerds on steroids.
Correct.
Ruining baseball.
Yep.
All right, that's at 1:30. Last week, the big news that the school that LeBron James was building in Cleveland, in Akron, finally opened. It's an incredible gesture, and an unbelievable way to give back to the community. He had the news conference. He spoke in front of everyone. Really, his first public comments since signing with the Lakers. So he got up and he talked about it. And when it was all said and done, he walked away. And by the way, he should be commended for his efforts to further education, to help kids, to give back to the community. It was a very generous offer and not one he had to make.
100%. I don't want people to always say I hate LeBron and I'm always ripping on him. I think it's admirable, Fred. It really is. People don't have to give anything. So I think it's outstanding. We need education. It's a private school in Akron, Ohio, where he's from, you know, trying to help the people need help. I love it.
Did you get the impression from everything that was written and from the way he conducted his news conference that he built the school?
Yes. I felt like it was his brainchild. He put up all the money, and this was the fruits of his labor. That's what I felt like it was.
I think everybody felt that way. Well, they did some digging and found out that...
What was that, those pesky reporters?
Yeah, those pesky reporters did some digging.
Okay, that's what they're supposed to do. That's what we do. That's what's called journalism for people who always feel like, oh, what are they doing digging? They're just trying to tear down LeBron. Go ahead.
They found out that LeBron did not build the school. Well, first, we knew he didn't build it by hand. But LeBron did not build the school. Taxpayer money in the city of Akron built the school, although LeBron contributed a quarter of it.
Now, what is it? He gave up $2.5 million?
No, it's they estimated that it's going to cost $8 million to run each year, and he is pledging $2 million of that $8 million per year to run the school.
All right, so he's giving $2 million a year, Jason. $2 million a year to run the school. The feeling was that he had built the school. Well, that's not true. But he is giving $2 million a year to help operate the school. And some believe that he was dishonest. Some believe that he was not magnanimous and that, you know, he kind of pulled the old bait and switch on everybody.
100%. All he had to say at that news conference was that he had partnered with the city of Akron. That's all. It was real simple, Fred. I'm proud to be here. I was born here. The city of Akron and myself, we got together. This was my brainchild, and they stepped up. I stepped up. We came together, and we delivered this school to the community, and we hope that it teaches kids, and they go on to be successful. And great. Thank you. Him and the city of Akron. I didn't hear any mention of the city of Akron until after the stories came out, when reporters started digging.
But is it any big deal? Look, here is a man saying, I'll give you $2 million a year.
No, say it. Just say exactly what you're doing. When you say you built a school, it's different between that and giving $2 million. It's not the end of the world, Fred. He's not a bad guy. I just think he misrepresented.
You're saying, Rob, that he intentionally misled people.
Yes, I think that he just didn't say what it really was.
And then what would the motivation for that be?
He wants all the credit that he's the guy. Hey, look at me. I came from the streets of Akron and I just built a school. That's not what happened.
I actually don't have that much of a problem with this at all. I think anybody that's going
to
donate.
You're the same guy who didn't have a problem with the Blaze Pizza stunt.
No, I had a problem with that.
Oh, you did? Okay, so it must have been Rodney I was trying to think.
Yeah, no, I had a problem with that.
Right, where, hey, free pizza, and he goes, I haven't been to a pizza party in a long time, hashtag
Culver City.
And then he doesn't show up. That's misleading people as well. Would you agree? That?
Well, the other side of it was, yeah, but I never said I was actually going to be there.
He didn't have to say it. Just like he never actually said that he built the entire school with his own money, but he didn't. That's a pattern. He didn't say it. But he also did not say that he didn't do it. So he got all the praise. Oh, this is unbelievable. LeBron is on another stratosphere when it comes to former players and what he's doing and what he's done with the kids.
And then there was another wave of it after the Trump tweet. All weekend, LeBron kept hearing how great a guy he was for this school idea. Now, can't we give him credit, though, for the creation and the idea to do it?
No doubt.
And the resources. And
no doubt.
Else?
That's what I'm saying.
No doubt. I'm not one of these guys that's saying it negates everything because he wasn't totally clear or honest with the presentation of it. No, he doesn't lose some credit for doing it. Like I said, he doesn't have to give up a nickel of his own money. He doesn't. Why should he worry about the school system? His kids live in Brentwood. They don't have any kids in the school system. He doesn't have to leave any money behind, right? Washed his hands of Akron and Cleveland. He's out here now.
Well, I think that what you're suggesting really is he's pathological. That's what you're suggesting here, Rob. That's what you're saying. You're saying it's a facade, and it's not always what it's meant to be or led to be.
Just be clear so that there is no investigation after. That's all I'm saying, Fred. So somebody can't come back and then take shine off of it. If you're upfront and honest in the beginning, then there is no shine and no exclusive and no investigative report that takes takes away from your accomplishment, is what I'm saying. Right?
Well, no, I get that. But still, I think it's just a wonderful gesture that he did it.
But I'm just curious, and maybe did anybody else who heard the whole press conference and heard what LeBron did they think that LeBron built it entirely on his own money? That's the perception that came out. The perception that was also that LeBron James was going to be at Blaze Pizza in Culver City.
So why do you think he's doing this?
He just likes to be liked, and I think he wants people to feel good about him, and it's just a nice gesture. I just think he's one of those guys.
Well, doesn't everybody like to be liked?
No.
You don't think?
I'm not into that. I'm into being respected. That's all I care about. I don't care if you like me. Seriously, Fred, what would you rather be, respected or liked?
I think I'd rather be respected.
Right? Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I think most people, if you really give them, because somebody liking you, that doesn't do a lot for me, but I want you to respect me.
You remember that meme that was circulated last week that listed everything that each student's going to get? Free uniforms, free lunch, and then the scholarship and everything else. There was that meme out there all over the internet. All it would have taken was for LeBron to caption that meme and be like, hey, by the way, the city of Akron and I have partnered up on this. I am not responsible for this entire freight.
You don't even have to say it like that.
No, anything like that.
Right. All you have to do is say the city of Akron and myself, right, we've come together to make this happen. It's a simple fix, and nobody's thinking. And then you know what the reporters would ask? What's the percentage? And then you would say, I'm putting in 25%, they're putting in 75%. Okay. Sounds great. Doesn't take away from his deed. I don't get it.
And you see this continuing, which means, and again, because, I mean, you've actually studied LeBron, and at times you've not been as big a fan. But what you're suggesting here is that misleading people is a part of his DNA.
He came to L.A. He misled people to believe that he was in the championship business. That's obvious. He's not right now. And he's here to make movies. I keep telling you, he wants to be a movie star. That's number one. And if they win by chance, that's number two.
See, and I still believe the guy's here to win. I still believe that.
I think he's here to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wearing a Lakers jersey. I believe that, those kind of things are more important, and that he just decided, I don't want to lose in the finals anymore. I don't want to have 10 losses in the finals. If I come to L.A., either they knock the Warriors off and he has a chance to win, or he doesn't take another L. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's no chance. Either you've knocked them off and you're in the finals and have a chance to win, or you don't get another loss. That's why I think he's out here.
You spoke of passing Kareem in a Laker jersey. Well, LeBron is in his jersey, and for some reason, it's just blown up. We'll talk about it next. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports. Rob Parker in for Rodney this week on AM570 LA Sports, talking about LeBron James. So, for whatever reason, this picture simply blew up online. It was the first reveal of LeBron in a Laker uniform on his Instagram. And people absolutely thought this was incredible. Why the sight of him, before the season starts, sitting in a Lakers uniform would inspire and excite people to this degree. Maybe it confirms it's real. But they just absolutely went insane over this picture. And there's one part of the picture that has other people talking. On his shoes, it says, "I am king." Then there's a picture that points to the jersey and it says Lake Show, hashtag. But on his shoes, it says, "I am king." Do you find that odd that he would put "I am king" on the shoes he wears with a Laker uniform already?
Yes, that he calls himself the king.
And by the way, he's wearing Kobe Bryant shoes.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think you should leave that stuff for other people. When you call yourself that, it's like you calling yourself a superstar. You would never call yourself a superstar, would you?
No, I'm not, but
no,
I never would.
No, but you wouldn't do it, is what I'm saying.
No, I wouldn't do
or
that.
Or you wouldn't introduce yourself as, "Hey, I'm Fred Rogan. I'm the greatest sportscaster who's ever worked in Los Angeles."
No.
No, of course not. But somebody might introduce you to somebody else and say, "Hey, meet Fred Rogan, who's the greatest sportscaster who ever worked in Los Angeles." You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between the two.
Do you find people are becoming resentful? I mean, this speaks to the mural issue.
Yes, there's people who aren't that crazy. I know you're excited, Fred. You can't sleep at night, and it's not because of the artichokes you had or anything like that. It's because you
normally
can't,
I can't sleep after eating duck.
Is that after duck?
Duck gives me bad dreams.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah.
If I eat late at night, I get bad dreams.
All right.
But you're excited about the season. There are people in town who, I told you, I have a cousin who's a big-time Laker fan who put all his Laker paraphernalia, jersey, T-shirt, hat in a box. And he said, "I'll come back to this in 4 years. He wants no part of LeBron being a part of the Lakers. There are people out there. Is it the masses? No, it's not the masses. But is there a faction or a group of people out there who don't want to see him succeed, don't want to see him to get any closer to Kobe, don't want to see him take over L.A. and totally bury Kobe's legacy and whatnot? No, there are those people out there. That's why the mural was damaged, right?
Yeah, but those people are not real Laker fans. And I'm sorry, Rob, I know you disagree with me on that. But if you're a Laker fan, then you root for the Lakers. And if LeBron James, the greatest player on the planet, is on your team, you're obviously excited about that. You don't sit here and worry about, well, how is it going to affect Kobe? I guess the thing that throws me in all of this, and maybe it's just a different time, and maybe it's not a big deal at all, that what we're seeing is everything constructed by LeBron and his team. They're handling everything. Everything matters. And they post it on Instagram, and I understand that. In social media, you can connect directly to your consumer base,
right,
your fan base, unquestioned. This is what they want. This is what I'll give them. They don't want to hear anything negative.
You know, I think people talk about it all the time, Fred. I'm still not convinced. I know there are the extreme fans and the ones who just don't want to hear anything. But you know what? The perfect example is team websites don't do as well as like a newspaper website. Because when you go to the team website, what are you going to get?
you're going to get the propaganda from the team.
Okay, and fans know that. Don't they know that? That's why they don't go.
Yeah, but there are, I would suggest there are far more fans now that only want to know what they want to know.
See, I don't think so. And that's why the local websites don't do as well. Everybody thought, oh, if we have our own website, we'll put out the message and we'll have to deal with the media. Those websites don't get the views that the objective sports writers, you know what I mean, get. They react. If I say something about, I said something about Tom Brady yesterday on Undisputed, went crazy. Because they still, even you would say, well, why would you even listen to that? Just stay on the Patriots website where they're waving pom-pom. No. Because they know I've touched a nerve. People still want their nerves touched. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I also think they want to hear directly from the person. So in this case, Instagram LeBron James. All right. They are going to buy what he's selling.
I got it.
They're going to go with what he says.
Not everybody, but I hear you.
Not everybody, but I'm telling you, I think there's a huge change now. And that's why it's tougher to root for teams now if you're younger. And you're more apt to root for players. I think that is hurting teams as well. I had this conversation, quite frankly, with Dean Spanos of the Chargers. And I mentioned to him, and we were talking about how he can move into the LA market more. And I said, well, you're dealing with a couple of issues. But the biggest issue is, as you try to grow your young fan base, they're not going to be fans of the team. They're going to be fans of individuals. They're going to be fans of players. And that's why it's so important the players brand themselves. And that's why you see more of that. Because young people did not grow up, I'm a Laker fan diehard. Certainly not in Los Angeles. Well, Lakers, Dodgers, yeah. But in Los Angeles, there are so many options. We see people now that are more fans of players than individual teams.
I
know you don't buy that.
I get it with the NBA and where we are right now. But when I go out and I see, to a Dodger game, people, they love the Dodgers.
That's different. Dodgers are different.
Same thing with the Yankees. I could name some teams where they don't care who comes back, comes in and out or whatever, that they're going to be Yankee fans regardless.
But you're not talking to people, let's say, 15, 16 years
old.
Yeah,
you might be right.
Right. Those people are rooting for players, not necessarily teams. Patrick, in Marina Del Rey, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Rob, and but he's wrong on this.
All right, let me hear it.
The first time I saw the announcement about the kid's school, it was this news story, and it said in the caption that he was the head of a foundation. So I knew he didn't say that he put all the money in, and he shouldn't have to. By spearheading it and putting his face in front of everything, he makes it 100 million times more valuable than it already is. And he loves kids. And you know he does. He's a flawed individual, but he loves kids.
I don't disagree with that at all, Patrick.
Yes, Patrick, and the reporters who did the work, those things were not spelled out, and that's why they went back and they dug in to find out exactly what the breakdown was. That's all. It could have easily been on a fact sheet when they gave out the press release. That's all. That's all I'm saying, Patrick.
I would say there's a lot more things to be critical about than that.
No, I'm not.
What he's doing.
There's no doubt. I'm
not going to have Brent Berry call in and call you either.
You said what?
He's not going to have Brent Berry call. He meant Rick Berry.
Oh, Rick Berry. That's all right. What did he say? I'm a loser? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
But I just think you're off target here.
Patrick, thanks for the call.
I think he's being a little sensitive. That you can't. All I'm saying is, let's not have a report come out a week later that says stuff that we didn't know. How do you stop that? Be transparent. Put it all out front. That's all. A fact sheet. As we go forward, I'm paying $2 million a year and the city of Akron's paying $8 million. What, Fred, does that take away from the story if you put that up front? Doesn't take away from it at all.
No, I hear what you're saying. I just don't think...
So that they don't have an exclusive on KNBC. Hey, breaking story, LeBron James is not paying. That's what the story's going to be.
Yeah, but again, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't. I think he has been very generous. I think it's fantastic. Although there are people that feel the way you do. There are people calling him out for that. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Let's do Nick real quick. He just called in. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good afternoon. Well, I think actually both of you guys are a bit off base on this one. First, I'll start with you, Fred. You know, I think there is, you know, some truth to this phenomenon of young fans being more attached to a player than a team. However, that doesn't speak to the Lakers' popularity, not only in Los Angeles, but worldwide. I mean, the Lakers make more money for the NBA than most other teams combined. You know, so I think right there, the Laker brand is still extremely healthy around the world. And secondly, this issue about LeBron James is just plain, it's just farcical. When the Lakers released these jerseys a couple days ago, they had one of their best-selling days they've ever had in their history at the Team LA store. So that really speaks to the idea that not only is it a minority of people who don't want LeBron around, but it's an absolute minimal minority.
I disagree with that. I think you're being naive. It's more people than you think. That Kobe has a huge following in this town, and I think it's more than you think.
For that, you're just speaking in hyperbole. You know, and you're talking.
You're speaking on a hyperbole. What are you talking about? Yeah. Come on, man. You have no facts. Give me numbers. Tell me. Give me numbers. You don't have numbers. You're just telling me what you think. I'm telling you what I think.
It's funny that you're yelling because I touched a nerve in you, sir.
No, because you don't have any facts. You don't have numbers. You don't have numbers. How many people? Is it 1.3 million? Is it 1.5 million? Is it 3 million? You don't have numbers.
I just gave you clear facts.
No, you did not. You didn't give me facts about selling. LeBron James is new. Yes, of course they sold his jersey. Of course they sold his jersey.
They sold it in a record number, my friend.
He's one of the greatest players who ever played, and his jersey's for sale. What do you think is going to happen? Come on. That's common sense. That doesn't tell you whether there are people here who don't like LeBron James.
Now, listen. Los Angeles is one of the biggest metropolitan areas in all of the planet.
Thanks for telling me. Thanks. You know what? I had no idea. I thought this was Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And you're one of them, apparently, who think about this nonsense as real. They're the absolute minority, man. They're the absolute, and they're dumb. They're playing people out there who don't want LeBron James in the Laker uniform.
Nick, I agree with you. I agree with you.
I mean, Fred, it's farcical, man.
I know, Nick. I know.
Before Kobe, there was Magic. No. Before Magic, there was Cap. This whole argument is farcical. It's a waste of time.
Well, you know what, Nick? Thank you for calling.
Hey, Nick, call them when they boo him on opening night.
They're not going to boo him. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate that very much.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Are you with me on this?
We're with you.
Everybody loves Ballers on HBO. It's one of my favorite shows. Must-see TV for me. And the new series, the new season of the hit series premiere will be this Sunday, 10 p.m. on HBO. Dwayne Johnson, he's back as Spencer Strathmore. And this season, he's expanding his empire to a Ciudad Los Angeles, City of Angels. Watch Ballers Sundays, a great fusion of sports and entertainment at 10 p.m. only on HBO. Oh, come on now.
Come on, Vic.
Come on, Vic.
Ballers.
Vic, you know they got my dandruff going. You know what I mean? They got me going.
LeBron is a very compelling figure and a very polarizing figure, but in the Ciudad, it's only pure love. So I think you are on a personal mission. You are on a personal mission.
Everybody can't be blind to the fact that there are some people. That's all I'm talking about. I don't have a... But you can't tell me he has numbers of the people, and it's a minute minority. He does not know that. He doesn't have any numbers.
I think it's a minority.
But you don't know what that number is. That's my point. I get it. It's not the majority, for sure. It's a minority, but nobody knows how big it is. That's all.
I'm just glad I didn't resort to name-calling.
We know what that is, you loser.
A Rick Barry situation happened.
We didn't
need that. No. Good call or bad call to say Bartolo Colon is a Hall of Famer? Now, former Angel Cy Young winner Bartolo Colon picked up his 246th career victory the other night and is just 62 innings away from passing Juan Marichal for most innings pitched by a Dominican player. He has already passed Marichal for most wins by a Dominican player. Again, I mentioned he won a Cy Young for the Angels back in 2005 and has 246 career victories. Good call or bad call to say Bart Colon is a Hall of Famer. I'll go with our Hall of Fame voter there, Rob Parker.
No way, no how. Stop it. He pitched for 30 years. I mean, stop with, I don't even get it. Like, I know. And also, you know what kills me? Didn't Bartolo Colon get busted with steroids?
He did. Suspended for 50 games, I believe.
It's just shocking to me that Bonds you have to keep out, and everybody's in love with Bartolo Colon because he's fat. That's basically what it is. They love that he's out of shape and he's still pitching, and he's fine.
What are you saying? Fat people don't deserve love?
No, I didn't say that.
Just because there's more of him to love?
I mean, I didn't say that. Fat people need love, too. That's not it.
It's not that kind of, not like, Hall of Fame love, though.
Not Hall of Fame love. There you go, Cap.
What do you say, Fred?
Well, I'm not going to say it quite like Rob did.
Okay.
But since he gets to vote, and I don't, I'll go with Rob because he's not voting for him.
What do you say, Vic?
It's a great call.
Yeah, I know you love Bart.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
He's one of the steadiest pitchers in the last 20 years in Major League Baseball. So what? He's muy gordo. So what? He's a little fat. Who cares? I mean, he uses his legs. He uses his tuchus to great power. His command right now is he's reinvented himself like 15 times. I love Bart Colon. And Bart Colon, to me, is a first ballot Hall of Famer. The greatest Latino pitcher of all time, perhaps. Him and Juan Marichal.
But you're arguing with a guy that
Pedro
actually votes.
Too.
Pedro Martinez, absolutely.
Martinez.
Upper tier. You put Pedro up there, absolutely.
I just don't think Bartolo, at least he's won one Cy Young. You know, it took, nobody put Jack Morris in. The writers didn't. He got in on a veterans committee. Jack Morris never won a Cy Young. And here's Bartolo Colon with one Cy Young. You should have a... You should be a dominant pitcher of your era. He's pitched a long time, and he's been productive and been able, you know what I mean, to stick around a long time. And I'm not taking that away from him. But when I talk about whether or not I should vote for you for the Hall of Fame, there should be no debate. When I bring up Hank Aaron's name, are you going to debate me? If I say Reggie Jackson, you're going to debate me? That's what a Hall of Famer is. Not, well, you know, if you look at how long he played and he's pitched more innings than any other Hispanic pitcher and all these other things that go with it, it shouldn't be like that.
But he's fat. He has that working in his favor, right?
Yeah.
That gives him some help.
They like that.
Well, let's face it, the hole is now down to the hole of the very good.
Well, that's the problem. If you're talking about very good, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Good call or bad call to say that super nerds are ruining Major League Baseball. Now, former Dodger Jason Wirth did a podcast with Howard Eskin from WIP in Philadelphia. He says, all these super nerds are ruining baseball because they know nothing about the game, and all they do is turn these players into a bunch of computers. His exact quote, these kids from MIT, Stanford, or Harvard, they've never played baseball in their life. We might as well just put computers out there, put laptops out there on the field, and let them play. The game is boring. You're turning players into robots. They have taken the human element out of the game. Good call or bad call for Jason Wirth to say the super nerds are ruining Major League Baseball, Fred?
Bad call. Bad call because things evolve. And in anything or any walk of life, things evolve. So if there's a new way to do things, to give somebody a competitive advantage, others are going to do it. It's the old argument. Years ago, if you were making Fuji film, think of this. So you're making Kodak or Fuji film. Somebody walks in and says, hey, listen, I got this idea. I want you to come join me. And you go, what's the idea? I got this little box and I'm going to press it and it's just going to make pictures. And you go, well, that's insane. That's not going to work. No, no. Trust me. There's no film. I just hit a button and it'll make pictures. Well, some people said, you know what? I'll go with you. I can see that. Other people said, no. Nothing will ever replace Fujifilm. I'm going to make Fujifilm. That's what I've always done, and that's the way it's always been. And what do you think happened to the people making Fujifilm? Nothing. They're done.
They went to Mount Fuji.
They went to Mount Fuji. Thank you. The Hello. Point being, things are going to change, and technology has changed everything in life, whether you like it or not, and you have to adapt.
Rob, super nerds, ruining baseball?
Good call. And Fred, I loved your analogy, and that's a real story. It's actually Kodak developed the first digital camera, and they took it and put it up on a shelf because they were making too much film in Rochester, New York. And, of course, they wound up not seeing the future, okay? Only problem is they also thought they had built the future of cruise liners when they built the Titanic. And everybody, you know, the slogan was, why be half safe, take the Titanic, and what happened with that. Man. All right, all changes are not for the good. I love your story on the film, but I'm sorry. It sounds like you're a bitter guy, like you had stock in Photomat back then. Is that what it was?
I don't want to go into it. I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah. What do you say, Vic?
I take it with a grain of salt because Jason Wirth has been in the, obviously retired from baseball because he couldn't adjust to the shifts, destroyed his game, really, the last couple of years. This guy was one of the most productive hitters in baseball every year, but then the shifts came and destroyed Jason Worth's game. Not his beard, one of the great beards in baseball. And, of course, his hair. I was always a big fan of the former Dodger, Jason Wirth.
But because of his hair?
Hair, beard, and his whole persona and his swagger. I love Jason Worth's game, but he did not adjust. Lay down some bunts and they won't shift so much. If they're going to shift, you bunt. You know what? You bring back the bunt. Learn how to bunt. Talk to Maury Wills.
By the way, you saw Jason Wirth, I guess, is in a forced retirement right now. He called every major league team except one. You know what team it was?
What?
The Mets. Because I'll play for anybody in the major leagues except for the New York Mets.
Well, the Mets aren't in the major league. That's why.
Well, there you go, Rob. She's like, man. Another shout out to our guy, Jason Smith's Mets there. Good call or bad call to say the poor ratings from Hall of Fame weekend are a bad omen for the NFL's regular season.
Oh!
Yeah, now according to Sports Business Journal, the Hall of Fame game from last week between the Bears and Ravens registered 6.78 million viewers. That's a 17.8% decline from last year. Also, the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony this past weekend, which was also 1.18 million, that went down by almost a few percentage points as well from last season. Some believe that this could be an omen of the ever-turning, ever-evolving ratings decline of the National Football League that some believe began last season. So is it a good call or a bad call to say that the poor ratings from Hall of Fame weekend are a bad omen for the regular season, Fred Rogan?
No.
Okay.
No. And here's why. No one cares about preseason games. No one cares about the Hall of Fame game. There are too many games on too many networks. And the only games people care about are the ones that matter. And what you and understand this. Numbers in television continue to decline. They continue to drop. And you go, then why is the NFL worth so much money if numbers are dropping? Here's why. Because they're still better than anything else. But you're going to see a decline and a decrease in numbers. It doesn't necessarily mean that the NFL is going to pack up and move out of town. It also means that you will see huge numbers for games that matter. Generic, arbitrary, it's Sunday, week three, my team has lost three in a row. The numbers won't be as good anymore. They simply won't because people consume media differently and the market is oversaturated.
What do you say, Rob?
I say it's good. It's a good call because this has been going on for more than just last year. The NFL has oversaturated the market. It's just like you love ice cream until you start working at the ice cream factory. Then all of a sudden, you don't like it as much. I got a game. They got the Sunday morning game from Europe, right? That game. Then they want me to watch the 1 o'clock game at 10 a.m. out here. And then the 1 o'clock game, then there's a night game, and then there's a Monday night game, and there's a Thursday night game. There's way too many games, and people are saying, I don't have that kind of time to watch games. You look at the team on Monday Night Football, the new broadcast team. They basically just threw in the towel and said, we don't even care about it, and they gave them terrible games. The numbers will be down because people, as much as they make always say that people can't get enough of football, this is proof that people can get enough, and for it to be down that big tells you a lot. It does tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, 18% drop.
That's
from
a
last
huge
season.
Drop.
Vic, what do you feel?
Okay, Vic, please reiterate the good call, bad call question.
To say poor ratings from the Hall of Fame weekend are a bad omen for the NFL's regular season.
Bad call. It's irrelevant. Okay. This is just content fill. It's just fill for a network. You can't tell me Ray Lewis's, 33-minute Passione Corazon speech did not give it a bump, but you can't have Ray Lewis on for 2 hours. I mean, Robert Brazil is nice. I love Brazil. He's a great linebacker. I'm not going to watch Robert Brazil for 25 minutes unless, you know, I'm a, you know, a hardcore Houston fan. Obviously, a lot of these speeches we've seen before, they're beautiful, they're emotional, but who's going to watch for 2.5 hours unless you have vested interest in Jerry Kramer or Morse? You know, he's a great player, so now, but are you going to spend 2.5 hours in front of a television watching the same speech spewed out? And, you know, everyone's going to, you know, a writer, and it seems like the same writers are writing the same speeches. They're beautiful, but I'm not going to invest 2.5 hours of my time to hear the same speech.
Well, Vic, for clarification, like the drop in ratings for the Hall of Fame enshrinement was not that dramatic. It was an 18% decrease for the Hall of Fame.
It was
game
the game
on the field.
Oh, the game no one watches.
That's
come
the
on.
Most dramatic
the game is
drop.
Crap. That game is crap. Are you kidding me?
It just, but everybody says people can't get enough of football. Oh, all I hear is, can't wait for football season. Can't wait to be able to watch football again. And then the game comes on, nobody watches it. What does that mean?
You say the exhibition season. Have player number 53 go up against player number 53 one-on-one, mano-a-mano, and that's it. Who needs a game?
Do you remember last year when the Patriots opened up against, was it Kansas City?
Yes.
That was the opener. And the ratings were down. New England, which had won the Super Bowl the year before, and the ratings were down. That was the opener of the regular season on Sunday night or whatever that was, that Sunday night.
That was football. A Thursday night.
Thursday night, but the Sunday night crew did that game.
All right. And that's a good call back, call.
All right, have a nice job.
Good stuff,
yes.
Fig.
Sure.
Petros and Money will join us next, and we'll try to answer these questions. Who is Bull? Who is Huddy? Who is Monster? It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports.